Turn in your Bibles today to Genesis chapter 6. I've entitled this sermon today just simply Flood. Flood. And we're going to talk about the great flood. And you know, as we sang that song, How Great Thou Art, it took a great God to make a great flood. It took a great God to destroy nearly all of creation. It took a great God to make creation, right? God is great. He's mighty. He's so strong. You could almost write a song about that. Our God is so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. That's right. That's right. Genesis chapter 5. Wouldn't that be wild if the story of the flood was in Luke? Yeah. I'm not trying to rewrite scripture here, folks. I just messed up. Genesis chapter 6. What I want us to see here is first off, is how amazingly quickly the world went from a perfect place to a place where evil reigned. And it was just a little over a lifetime, okay, from Adam. Now, let me clarify this a little bit, because a lifetime was a lot longer, had more years. And there's different scholars that have argued, well, this means different, this is that, whatever it is. There were 9 generations from Adam to Noah, okay? By the account that we have in Scripture, Adam had actually been dead for about 126 years when Noah was born, okay? 9 generations, 126 years have passed. Now, when you're 126, how many of y'all are 126 in here? Is there, okay, we don't, okay. Nobody yet. And that may seem like a really, really long time to us, 126 years. That is a long time. But when you're living to be 800-900 years old, that's only like a decade, right? So it hadn't been that long between creation and God made Adam and Eve until Noah was born, and God found that the earth had gone through some drastic, serious decline in that time. Why did God bring the flood? Why did God bring the flood? Let's read about it in chapter 6. Let's start at verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. Wow. Wow. Gone from a time when Adam and Eve were created, a time when God walked in the garden with them and they talked and they had fellowship, to a time when every inclination and the thoughts of man's heart was only evil. How much? All the time. Look in verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. Verse 12, he saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, verse 13, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence. Because of them, I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Wow. Creation to destruction. I'm going to destroy all the earth. I'm going to destroy them and the earth. Creation to destruction, 9 generations. And truth is, it didn't take them 9 generations to really get there. All right, you look at the second generation, they were already headed, the first generation, they were already headed that way. It can happen so quickly. Why did God bring the flood? To cleanse the earth from the unrighteousness that he found there. Why does God bring a flood in your life? You know, some people say, well, God only brings the good things, the devil brings the bad things. That's not what I read in the Scripture. There are cases like that, yes, but God also brings about the destruction of things in our lives. God brings about flood in your life. Why? To cleanse it from unrighteousness. Just like He did with the earth. And listen, I don't care. I mean, I do care. But it doesn't matter if your daddy was a preacher. Doesn't matter if your grandfather was a preacher, your uncle. Doesn't matter if your parents were the most saintly people in the world. Grandpa Adam was handmade by God. By God Himself. And his grandkids were so evil that God had to destroy them. Let me tell you something. Because it's often said when we go and we visit with somebody, well, are you going to church? No, I don't go to church. But my grandfather is a preacher. My uncle pastors a church over there. Do you go? No, I don't go. But he's a pastor. And a lot of times people will think, well, because I have religious people in my family, that makes me religious, and I'm just on God's good side. It doesn't happen that way, folks. Let me tell you something straight out. I want you to understand. Everybody look at me. You are responsible for your own stuff. You're responsible for your own stuff. We live in a day and age where we like to push responsibility off on somebody else so often. Well, they made me, they did it, because they did this, now I'm stuck over here. No, you're responsible for your own stuff. Always have been. Guess what? Always will be. Always will be. And there will come a day and time when God calls us all before His throne, and He's going to ask us a question. You know what it is? What did you do with Jesus? Now's the time to be responsible for the question. What did you do with Jesus? You're all responsible for your own stuff. I'm responsible for my own stuff. The first thing I want us to note, I have three points. God gave Noah some very specific instructions. God said, I'm going to just destroy this place. I'm going to wipe it out. Both men and everything else. So in 6 verse 13, He says, I'm going to destroy both them and the earth. And then following that, He says, go, make yourself an ark. And He tells him how to do it. He tells him the measurements. He says, make it out of this material. Make it this high, this wide, this long. Build it. Do it right. Cover it with pitch inside and out. Set a door on the side. Okay? He gave him instructions. He gave him instructions about everything. He said, I'm about to bring a flood, so you need to get ready. Folks, in our life, when God sends a flood in our life, oftentimes if we will look back, we will see that God had been giving us instructions to get ready. To get ready for the flood. Why the flood? You can speak. To cleanse from unrighteousness. To get rid of the wickedness. And God does that in our lives. Is anybody awake? Okay. Has anybody ever seen? Okay, and you can do this. I do this a lot. Has your friend of yours ever experienced that in their life? Okay. God brings about floods to cleanse us from unrighteousness. He gives us some very specific instructions. He said, here are some things you need to do to get prepared while I do my work. You see, God's also busy about doing His stuff, right? God's telling us the same thing. You've got some things to do while I'm working in the background so that you'll be ready when I do my thing. What is God telling you right now to do in preparation? It's interesting to note that the very last verse of chapter 6, verse 22, we read the instruction that God gave Noah, and here's what Noah did. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Don't you know that God would love to call your name in that verse? And Paul did everything just as God commanded him. Sherry did everything just as God commanded her. Vicky did everything just as God commanded him. Mike did everything just as God commanded him. Warren did everything. I could call every one of your names. And God wants to call your name in that verse too. You did everything just as God commanded you. Why did God put Noah on the ark? Because he was the only one found righteous on the earth. God wants to speak your name in that verse. Now, I told you that that Noah had some duties, some jobs, right? He told him to build the ark, get things ready, told him how to build it. What happened to the animals? How did the animals get there? Anybody have any idea? They came. They came to the ark. See, that's what God was doing. God was doing his job. He said, Noah, you get something to hold these animals. I'm going to go round them up. All right? That's right, the shepherd. The shepherd brought all the animals. God said, you do your job, and it better be ready, because they're coming. They're coming. You got a job to do. You do your job. Noah did everything as the Lord commanded. So when he was ready, here come the animals, right? Here come the animals. Noah, he got them, he organized them, whatever he did right there at the ark, but he didn't have to go to find the camels and the whatever. They came to him, and they got to the ark, and they loaded them up. Chapter 7, verse 16 says, animals were going in were male and female of every living thing, as God commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. There's something very specific I want us to see about this verse. They're coming in the door, right? Where was the door? Because we read about it. The door was fashioned on the side of the ark. I've spent some time in some boats. Not many with doors. But I do know that an opening below the waterline has a potential for great failure. Okay? This door was on the side. I'm assuming that was probably at the waterline or possibly even below. This door was so big, Noah couldn't even shut it. Right? When the animals got in, who shut the door? God shut the door. Wow, that'll preach, folks. Listen, when the flood is coming in your life, God will shut the door. If you will get inside, Noah built the ark. God brought the animals and told Noah to get inside. When they obeyed, obedience is so important here, folks. When he obeyed, God shut the door. You see, God took care of the details, such as rounding up the animals, while Noah took care of his assigned duties. We often worry and focus on the details that are in God's care instead of focusing on our job. A lot of times, okay, God, I heard you. I'm supposed to build an ark. This is my instructions you gave me. Oh, but what about the camels? How am I going to... Oh, the camel. We'll have to carry some water. Well, they carry water themselves. They'll carry the water for the donkeys. Oh, the donkeys. Where am I going to get the donkeys? Oh. How am I going to have donkeys and leopards, cheetahs, tigers, lions, and bears? Oh, my. How am I going to have all that together? What? How am I going to do this? While I'm doing all this, the ark is not getting built. What is my job? Build the ark. A lot of times, God has given us some instructions. You're to worship me. You're to lift my name up. You're to minister to this person. And we start, oh, but gosh, good Lord, what am I going to do about that? What am I going to do about this? How am I going to feed them? I'm going to do this. What am I going to do about? And we're doing all this stuff. This person's not getting ministered to. God is not getting worshiped. What was our job? Do your job. Amen. Let God do his job. We get so distracted. We worried about the details that are outside of our care. You know, I'm going to mess it all up. There's a saying out there that says, do something, do what you can, let God do what you can't. Where do we spend the most time worrying about the stuff that's out of our control? That's God's realm. Let him have it. His job is to take care of those things that are out of our control. When we turn our attention to these matters, we're neglecting that which we should be doing. That includes our attitudes, relationships, responsibilities. Concentrate on what God has given you to do and leave the rest to Him. Let God bring the flood to cleanse us from the unrighteousness and the sin of the world. But listen, when He shuts that door, when we get inside of God's grace and inside of God's mercy and inside of God's love, and He shuts that door to the evil that's outside, here's what a lot of folks like to do. They keep one of these things handy. Anybody know what that is? That's a crowbar. Anybody asleep out there? Here's what we like to do. The God has shut this big old door on us, right? And we're like, wow, I'm inside of God's grace, inside of God's love. I'm inside of God's protection. Whew, a lot of evil stuff outside. A lot of evil. Man, that's evil stuff. What am I missing? Wonder what's really going on out there. I just want to take a peek. And we'll stick that thing in the door. We want to get just a little peek, right? We want to look a little bit. We'll pry it open to get a look. We keep prying. Listen, God has shut the door. Why do we keep prying it open? Where's the door on the ark? What's going to happen when you go prying the door to the ark open? Oh, man, we got some smart folks in here. Let me put it this way. Get in your John boat, okay? Go out in the middle of Lake Livingston somewhere, or another lake, some big lake. You need lots of water, okay? Find you a big body of water. Get you out on this boat. Take your crowbar. Use the crowbar to take a peek of what's right below you in the water. Punch a hole, right? Not a big one. Okay, you don't want to sink it, right? Just punch you a hole in the bottom of that boat, maybe this big. And look so you can see what's going on under there. What's going to happen to your boat? Oh, man. When you go prying open the door, when you go trying to get that feel-good experience, that thing that's on the outside when God has shut the door on it, you open the door and you will flood your life with the evil that God has shut outside to keep you from. You'll flood your life and it'll ruin you. The tainted waters of the floodwaters will infiltrate every part of your life and you'll be no different than what's on the outside. When God has shut the evil on the outside and He's out there doing His work, and you go try to open it up and that stuff starts to come in, it's going to get everywhere. It's going to taint you. It's going to contaminate you. All that evil. You're going to be no different if you were on the outside. Eventually, because the boat's going to go down. Don't grab the pry bar. When God shuts the door, just leave it shut. Leave it shut. Your job is to stay inside. Our job is to be obedient, get inside, and stay there until He's finished His work. How long was Noah on that ark? Well, you know it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, right? And if we read the account, we find out that Noah was on the ark for just over a year. A long time. Because after the flood waters came up and right for 40 days, 40 nights, the flood waters came from the heavens and opened up from the earth and it covered the earth. And finally it stopped raining and then the waters kind of started to recede. They found they'd landed on a mountaintop and waters had to recede. And then a wind blew and it dried the land and all that. Took about a year, a little over a year for that to happen. You can do the math in there, and it talks about a year maybe a year and a day, just right at a year, just over a year, for all that to happen. That's a long time to be on the boat. Stinky animals, right? Messy. You know, when you in animal feed, you got to feed animals, right? What happens when you feed animals? Use your imagination. Stinky boat. They were on this boat. Now they were, listen, they landed, right? They're on land. It's not dry. It's kind of muddy still outside. But God said, don't go out yet. You need to stay in here. You stay here. And they did. They obeyed. They stayed in there. God wants you to stay inside of his goodness, inside of his mercy, inside of his salvation. Stay there until he tells you something different. Our job is to be obedient and stay there until he finishes work. Stay there until he has finished the cleansing in your life. You know, I'm not sure what kind of evil, what kind of floodwaters, what kind of stuff needs to be washed away in your life. Sometimes I'm not even sure of all the stuff that needs to be washed away in my life. And maybe you're in the same boat. Get it? Get it? Boat? Okay. But maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, you know what? Brother Mike is right. I'm guilty of that. Because I've got inside of God's salvation and his mercy and his love and his grace and his goodness. And I like being there. But I like to try to peek out every once in a while. I like to see what I'm missing. I miss this experience. I want a little bit of this. I want a little bit of that. And we'll grab that old pry bar and we'll go to prying on the bar, just the door, just to see a little bit of what we're missing, right? And it just messes it all up. Stay inside. Stay inside. Allow God to finish the cleansing. And when he's ready, he'll tell you to come on out. Don't open the door until he tells you to come out. It's important, I think. I'm going to close with this verse. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Actually, I'm going to back up, and I'm going to read verse 15 through 20. And I didn't put this on the screen, so y'all just bear with me. I'll read it. Verse 15 says this. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase the number upon it. So Noah, verse 18, came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that moved along the ground, all the birds, everything that moves on the earth, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. When God brings you through a flood, when God brings you through a flood in your life, you've been obedient to stay inside and allow the cleansing to happen. When he brings you through that flood and God says, now open the door. When you do, don't forget to worship. Don't forget to worship. Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals, he sacrificed burnt offerings. He worshiped. You see, when God brings you through a flood and you recognize that and you're thinking, wow, that was a bad flood. I was on that boat for a long time. Didn't like the flood, but the cleansing has taken place. When you recognize that and God says, come on out, build an altar. Build an altar. What was the altar for? It was to worship. But listen, the altar was something they could come back to and say, oh, look at that altar. Y'all remember that? Shem, you remember that? That's where we landed. That's where we landed. After God destroyed all the world, all the evil in the world, and saved us, that's where we worshiped him. We honored him. Have those altars in your life. After a flood, when you look back and say, well, that flood was bad. It wasn't the most pleasant experience, but God brought me through it. He saved me. And now I honor him. Build those altars in your life. God gave Noah some specific instructions. God gives you instructions. Well, how does he give you instructions, you might say, Brother Mike? I'm glad you asked. God gives us instructions in his word. And I will tell you this. If you're relying on 30 minutes of instruction one time a week on Sunday between 11:30 and 12 or whatever time we do it, if you're relying on sermon time to get your instructions, you're going to be misinformed. You're going to be you're going to be lacking instructions, but God has given you the instructions. All you have to do is read them. Pick them up, read the instructions, see how it applies to your life. God will speak to you through his word. That's why they call it the word. We speak using words, right? So does God. He uses these words to speak to your heart. And if you'll read it and listen, God will speak to you. He'll give you some very specific instructions. When he gives you instructions, obey. Do like the scripture said. Noah did what was told of him. What he was told. He obeyed. He was obedient. Then, allow. Here's one of the hardest things. Allow God to shut the door on the evil stuff in your life. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? I'm not a murderer. Jesus had something to say about that. He said, if you hate somebody, you're still a murderer. If you've lusted after this woman, you've committed adultery. He said, it's really not the act, it's what's going on in your heart. Allow God to judge your heart. Allow God to search out those things that are unrighteous, unpleasing to him. Shed those, leave those outside the ark, and allow him to shut the door. Leave it shut. And then, when he's done his cleansing and opens the door, worship. Worship him. Honor him. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the flood. Because now I can see how you've removed some of the evil things, the unrighteousness in my life. Lord, I thank you for that. I build an altar to you. I want to remember this. I don't want to go back to where I was. The flood. Maybe you never quite saw it quite like that. Maybe you thought about it more about like the wallpaper in the nursery, you know, when you walk in, they got the animals, the giraffe sticking out on this side and the elephants on this side, and it's just like this big happy party for 40 days on the water. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. God did a devastating work on the earth. Sometimes the flood that comes in your life to cleanse you from unrighteousness, folks, sometimes it's devastating. Sometimes it's devastating. Allow God to finish his work. Allow God to finish his work. Keep the door closed and worship. Be obedient to your part. Allow God to do his part. Worship him. That's it. That's all I have for you this morning. Oh, but there's so much in it. There is so much in it. It spoke to my heart this week as I studied this. And this was it didn't come together real easily for me. I struggled with it. Probably because I'm so close to the situation. Because I'm so guilty. Folks, listen. I've got these things stashed all over the place. Sometimes I think I've got one of these crowbars. It's like the go-go gadget crowbar that I can keep in my pocket. It's like the portable size. And when I need it, I can make it as big as I want it because I can open up any of the doors. And God's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. You're going to get the nasty, messy water all over you. You're going to be no different than if you were on the outside of the boat. Don't do that. God is telling you, don't do that. Don't do that. Put the crowbar down. Put it away. Don't open the door. I'm not through yet. I'm not through cleansing the unrighteousness that's around you yet. I'm not sure what those things are in your life. Maybe you're not quite sure of them. Ask God to show you. Ask God to show you so that you can shut the door. And listen, let me tell you something. What do you think was happening? Of course, it's not real explicit in the scripture here, but when the flood started rising, who else was on the outside? Where'd they want to be? I imagine they wanted to be in the boat. I imagine by that time they thought, ooh, you know what? Maybe old Noah wasn't so crazy after all. So when somebody comes knocking on that door, hello, let me in. I won't come in there with you. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. especially if that water's already coming up. Sometimes those things are really enticing. Yeah, leave the door shut. If God wants him in, he'll open the door. Remember, that's his job. Oh, remember? That's his job. Not your job. Don't open the door. Maybe you're here today and you recognize that God's been dealing with you. God has been giving you some instructions because he's about to bring a flood in your life. Welcome the flood. Welcome the flood. Get inside where you're supposed to be. Do your job. Get inside the ark. When God shuts that door, you stay there until it's time, until God says to come out. And when he does, you worship. Maybe you need to do a little searching this morning. Maybe you need to get on your hands and knees, face. Maybe you need to get all the way down flat. I don't know. Maybe you just need to get to where God can speak to you and you can listen to him. You can get rid of the distractions. This altar is open this morning. I'll be standing here. Rebecca will be up here if you'd like to speak with her. Don't walk out of this place this morning with your galoshes on. It's dry in the boat. It's dry in the boat. You won't be outside. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been guilty. And you come in here and you've got the muck and the mug of the world all over you thinking, I'm inside. I like being inside of God's salvation. And I'm here. But I'm all mucky because I keep busting open the door and taking a look. And I get all wet and get this, the stuff gets all over me. I just can't seem to get clean again. God wants to cleanse you. God wants to say, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. God will wash you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Make you as white as snow. Don't ask me how blood can make you everything white as snow, but I trust that it does. God said it does. I believe it. Maybe you need to come back. Maybe you need to come back, get some more pitch, seal that door shut, and say, I'm staying. I've had enough. I'm done playing around with it. I know what happens when I go poking around at the door. I'm not doing it. I'm staying inside. Maybe you've never got on the boat. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never been inside of his salvation. Let me tell you something, folks. It's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. There's no in between. Either you're on the inside or you're on the outside. Jesus said this, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus made it very plain, very simple. He said, trust in me, and you will see the Father. It's still true today, folks. Jesus Christ is the only way. Have you accepted him? Have you trusted him for your salvation? This is your time. We're going to stand and just have a time of invitation. I'll be standing here. If you'd like to come and pray with me, I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to show you what Scripture says about how do you come to Jesus Christ and what can he do in your life. I'd love to show you those things. Whatever your need is, we're here. If you'd like to join this church this morning, folks, just come on down. We'd be glad to visit with you about how that happens. It's a very simple process. It's not complicated. We don't want things to be complicated. The floodwaters. The floodwaters are here. Where are you? Let's stand as well.